We turn now to the Word of God in Scripture. We read first from Paul's letter to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I shared part of today's gospel at Helena Wispelway's funeral last Thursday, as I have shared it at many other funerals. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. It's a wonderful and a comforting promise. Many of us turn to it when burdens seem impossible to carry alone. It offers hope of help, hope of a Lord who will lift sweaty loads off our backs and replace them with a yoke that makes burdens lighter. We can be yoked along with one who is greater than we are and with whose help we can bear any burden. That is what the passage means to many today. And it's not wrong, but we can miss some of the additional meaning which would have been clearer to people of Jesus' day. At this point in his ministry, Jesus had been less than warmly received during a preaching mission among the Galilean cities. Romans occupied the area. Local economies and religious institutions were, for the most part, working adequately, so people weren't necessarily looking for help from Jesus. And today's passage is, in part, Jesus' response to that underwhelming response to his preaching mission. Jesus has heaped reproaches on those who didn't welcome him, those who trusted in their human skills and knowledge. And he goes on to thank God for those who recognize the need for divine revelation as opposed to simply human learned skills. Then Jesus offers to lighten the load of those carrying heavy burdens, some of which have presumably been laid on the shoulders of the people by religious authorities or the Roman authorities. In the first century, this burden could have been the sticks and bricks that Romans demanded for the building they wanted to do of their places to dwell or fortresses. It may be the increasing weight of Rome or the invisible load of life's grief and fear, the burden of being told one was less worthy and to be kept out of a good society, which was the case with some of those in Galilee, like the Samaritans. And it's likely also that Matthew would have understood that Jesus meant religious burdens as well. By the time the Gospel of Matthew was completed, the Jewish revolt against Rome had failed, the temple was in ruins, and as the temple went, so did the power of the Sadducees, the priestly class. Zealots, who had been revolutionaries, were in full retreat, and that left as religious authorities for the Jewish people the Pharisees, who felt they held the future of Judaism in their hands and that the future depended on strict following of their interpretation of Torah law. And this put them on a collision course with the rising influence of those following Jesus, seeking to spread the teachings and blessings of our Lord. Now, the Jesus party, if you will, was smaller and made up mainly of those deemed socially lower or less accomplished. But both the Pharisee party and the Jesus party at that time shared the same Torah, the same prophets, they sang the same psalms. The recognition of Jesus' authority and divinity differed. Still, in many ways, their confrontation was really one among God's own people and no less bitter than one is found between different groups of Christians throughout history. At issue were first, who had the authority to speak for God, and second, what kind of yoke God would place on the people. Then as now, some proposed weightier requirements than others. Then as now, some placed more weight on their own view of the requirements than others. And then as now, some sought to add whatever secular power they could muster in defense of their position. And if you are part of a faith community or pay attention to news, you know that such debate did not happen only long ago. It continues to happen now. With the community at the time of Matthew's writings, we too can share struggles over the requirements of faith. Now, drawing on Paul's writings, Martin Luther of Reformation fame, and other Reformed thinkers identified the struggle as between law and works for the Jewish people. When Jesus offered a lighter yoke, they say he offered a religion of grace rather than a religion of works. So let's explore that idea. Now, as far as I can tell, every human who longs to know God lives within the tension between grace and works. We long to believe that God in Christ comes to us as we are, unimpressed by the tricks we do to gain other people's acceptance and love. On the other hand, we live in a world that responds to the tricks we do to gain love and respect. If you really observed yourself for a day, Your actions are apt to show which way you lean in any given day and what you believe. For instance, I will say that I live by Christ's grace, but I also know I have a list of things to do each day. A number may be things that I want to do, a lot are things I think I ought to do, that I had better do, that I have put off doing for too long. I may believe that my life depends upon Christ's grace, but I can act like it depends upon me and how many good deeds I can perform. Every day is kind of like being on America's Got Talent, and the judges in the front row are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly the struggle I think Paul was describing in our reading from Romans today. And I'll bet you know what he means. We drive ourselves to do more and push ourselves to be more, when the main thing Jesus has asked is that we belong to him. That belonging comes first. And then in gratitude, we are to be moved to do and be more than what we are at the moment. More of what Jesus calls us to be. We often get the order backwards and act as if we need to keep earning Christ's love. And that can be the most tiring work in the world, and it is never over. Earlier in my life, I was a pastor. I also managed to get elected as a chairperson of the Committee on Ministry of that presbytery. I agreed to be moderator at the same time of the second largest church in the presbytery in a time of turmoil that a senior pastor had left behind, and three other ordained staff in session had been left to extricate themselves from that messiness. I put, three or four 60-hour weeks together in a row, neglecting my family, neglecting myself, neglecting my spiritual renewal, mistakenly believing that God expected more of me than others because I couldn't let God down. Besides, I liked people saying, oh, he's a good, hard worker, what great work he does. I liked being needed, I liked recognition, I liked thanks. But I didn't like the night my daughter asked when we'd have time to play together. I didn't like being too tired to take personal time with Jenny. I needed to recall what I'd learned in National Geographic magazines. There are two types of yoke, in effect, used around the world. One is a single yoke. People can place a yoke across their shoulders, strap containers from each end of a pole, and carry almost as much as a small donkey, but maybe not as far. And before long, you need to rest. Shoulders ache, backs and knees get sore. And animals in a single yoke can carry or haul much more, but also will need rest breaks. Then there is the shared yoke. It at least doubles the number doing the work. One can ease up while the other carries on. They can switch those roles. Both may be tired when the day is done, but neither is totally exhausted. And I, like many people, had been under the illusion that I was in a single yoke. I had to go it alone, that to please God and my peers, I had to bear heavy burdens of good deeds, obedience, self-sacrifice. Those kinds of rules that we make and break and make and break. If we'd look up, we'd see Jesus standing in front of us, wearing half of a shared yoke on his shoulders, with the other half open for us. The yoke Jesus offers is open and is shared, asking that we step forward and become part of a team. Come to me, all who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. It is easy because it is the open part of a shared yoke. It is pleasing to God and Christ when we do not try to go it alone. It pleases God when we enter into a working relationship with Jesus, who offers a standing invitation to step into the open part of the yoke that he shares. The way to find rest for our souls is simply to lay down our heavy yokes of things to do and be and accept the open yoke and lighter burdens that Jesus offers. Amen.